Today's scripture was pretty long, huh? And it had all those names in it, and it probably seemed like that's such a far off, far away land, far away time. But this story is important, and there are lots of others like it in the Bible, but this story that we hear today reflects our own story. So I think it's important that we listen up. The story comes to us from the book of Numbers, which is named as such because in the book, Moses takes two different censuses and counts all of the people, so therefore it's the book of Numbers. And this book is essentially one long history of God instructing the Israelites not paying attention, and then getting into trouble. Over and over and over again, God instructs them and gives them the chance to pay attention and shape up. And over and over and over again, the Israelites think that they know better than God, and they go their own way. And often, it comes with disastrous consequences. So it's a good thing that God is a forgiving and steadfast type, because God always gives them another chance. So in this story, God instructs Moses to tell the Israelites who have been wandering, looking for the promised land, he instructs them to send 12 people to investigate the land of Canaan. And what they find there is a land that is rich, that with all that they might need, with milk and honey and beautiful cities and tall trees and huge, huge plants with all sorts of fruits. It is truly a beautiful promised land. And yet, when the investigators return from their spying, only Caleb wants to tell of this good news. The rest of the investigators are terrified because in this beautiful promised land, there are very large people, so as they were like giants, and they are afraid. And so they paint this picture of this terrifying land filled with giants, and they say that these people were of such great size that they, the Israelites, felt like grasshoppers standing before them. And so, hearing this, the rest of the Israelites chicken out. And instead of following God's instructions to go into the land of Canaan, they decide to just go their own way. And they end up wandering for another 40 years. In this story, the Israelites let their fear speak louder than God, and they suffer because they listen to their fear. So when I read this story, I wondered, what is God instructing us to do today? And then what prevents us from following God's instructions? The great commandments that we always return to as Christians are these: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So what prevents us from following those instructions? One of the things that prevents me is what also tripped up the Israelites: fear. When I think about loving my neighbors, the ones who are right next door or across the street, I have all these fears. What if they don't like me? What if I don't like them? What if they get clingy and want to come over all the time? I don't want that. What if they don't answer the door? What if they do answer the door? What if they think I'm weird or strange or they reject me? What if, what if, what if? What if I end up standing there on their front porch feeling so small and insignificant like a grasshopper? This is hard stuff. There are risks involved in following God's instructions and with answering God's call. Maybe you are an extroverted person who never met a stranger, and so you are not fearful of loving your neighbor and meeting them and deepening your relationship with them. But there are other barriers that prevent us from following God's call to love God and to love our neighbor. Some of you might be thinking to yourselves right now, oh gosh, I don't have time to be in relationship with anybody else besides a few close friends and my family. I barely have time to get to church. I mean, we have a game right after this to run to. I hope McKenna doesn't preach a long one because today time is tight. I heard it before. Or maybe you're thinking, gosh, knowing my neighbors and hanging out with them and praying for them sounds really lovely, but I wish I had the time, but I just come home from work so exhausted. I've got nothing left to give. Or perhaps you have the time, but you've been burned a few times and turned away by people who are too busy flitting around checking items off their to-do list to really see you and to answer your call to be in relationship. And so now you've built up that wall. You're done reaching out. So time is a big barrier, as is fear, and they oftentimes go together. I know for myself that I keep myself busy in order to avoid confronting that fear. It's the reason I haven't met any of my actual neighbors, because I'm too busy. And being busy keeps me from having to do scary things, like breathe, or sit on the front porch, or invite my neighbors over to a church event, or offer to rake their leaves in the fall. If we choose to prioritize our lives around loving God and loving neighbor, I bet we'd have to do some scary things. Yeah? And it's hard to say no to some of those things that keep us busy. Maybe it's choosing a less competitive league for our kids to compete in so that they don't have so many games. Maybe it's instituting a family Sabbath without TV screens or cell phone screens or tablet screens. Maybe it's putting something on the calendar with your neighbors and sticking to it, like Jim and Kay Hamilton do. They shared with me that they go out to breakfast once a month with the neighbors on their street. And they do their very best to keep that commitment because they know that those relationships are important. So time and fear are big barriers to us in loving God and loving our neighbor. But I want to tell you about a small group of people from this church who answered God's call to do both of those things. For the past 34 weeks, there's a group of people that committed their time and their energy to an opportunity that would help them grow closer to God and to each other. And these people, out of pure faith, committed to do a 9-month Bible study with me that asked them to read almost the entire Bible. 9 months, the whole book. When I pitched it to all of you back in the fall, I could tell people were skeptical. And I'll admit, I was too. I thought, oh, this is too much of a time commitment, and it's too hard to read that much. What if it's more than we can handle? I know that those were fears of people going into it. And it was hard. And not all of us, not a single one of us was able to attend every single session. But we stuck with it. And this last week we celebrated finishing up, and we had a little potluck and a worship service. And I asked the group to share with me what this study has meant to them. And I have to tell you, listening to them share with me all of the things that this study has meant to them, it was one of the highlights of my ministry at this church so far. It was a beautiful thing. Their comments had a few common themes to them, so I'll share them now. Lori Kolstad shared, and many echoed her, that when she started this study, she felt like she didn't know how to read the Bible for herself. It was intimidating and overwhelming and confusing. But now, after this study, she and all the others in our group shared that they feel like they know at least where to begin. If they have a question, they know where to turn. And anywhere that they flip open their Bible, they can read it and think, I kind of know what's going on. I can access this. I understand it a little bit. And Kathy Schaefer asked us, does anybody ever really master the Bible? Like master studying the Bible? And we all said, oh, of course not. We're only just beginning. This is a lifelong journey. But whereas before it felt totally inaccessible, now they sort of understand it. Mary Heinrich shared, and many others echoed her too, that the discussions and the prayers that we shared together week in and week out made her feel more connected to God and to all of us. And Cheryl Laird Humphrey shared that for her, it extended the Sunday morning community into the week so that she felt connected and supported by God and by her church all throughout the week. Wayne Patchen, who's a new member to our church in the last year, said that he loved and needed the fellowship of this group. It excited his mind and helped him to feel connected to the people in this church. And finally, we all discovered spiritual gifts that we weren't sure that we had, but in study with one another and in conversation, we were able to affirm for each other those gifts that we share. We're all leaving this study feeling more empowered to serve God. Isn't that amazing? Here's one more amazing thing. When I said, so what do you guys want to do next year? Not a single person said, yeah, this was fun, but I'm out. Not a single person. They all want to do more. And so I asked them, well, what do you want to study? And they said, well, we really like Romans, so we want to dive deeper into Romans. And we're really curious about the minor prophets, all of those small little prophet books in the Old Testament, like Micah and Habakkuk and all of those weird ones that have little short pages and weird names. They want to know more about that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do 10 weeks on the minor prophets in the fall and 10 weeks on Romans in the spring. And you all are invited to answer that call with us. It took a commitment of time and overcoming some of our fears in order to complete that study. But the result was that we really did grow closer to God, and we learned about these neighbors who sit next to us in the pews each week and learned to love them more deeply. This was a group that heeded God's instructions, and as a result, they experienced some of the blessings that were beyond their reach before. Like the Israelites, they heard God's call, but instead of letting fear rule the day, they courageously committed their time and their energy to do something amazing. And I got to tell you that the relationships that we built were pretty incredible. So last week, your homework was to think about how you could get to know your neighbors or to deepen your relationship with them. And you still have 3 more weeks to complete that. I'm still working on it myself. You can use those National Night Out tickets to approach your neighbors and invite them to something and learn their names. But I'm going to give you some more homework this week. Sorry. I know school just let out, but now I'm feeling the need to give you homework. This week, your homework is to think about your priorities and your family's priorities. Where do the commandments to love God and love your neighbor show up in those priorities? There's another pastor who said this: in this life, we can only do a few things really well. So I think it's a good idea to make certain that one of those things is also what Jesus says is most important. So, what's most important to you? Does your life reflect the call to love God and love your neighbor?